Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Be quiet.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing great. It's me, the Wolverine, filling in for Professor, staying with it. So here we are with another Parts Unknown, kicking it with the Wolverine and all that good stuff. Before we get started, I'd like to bring on our sponsor, Mr. Bowen. Are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great, sir. How you doing?
Hey, sir. Better and better, better and better. We're hanging out in a world of martial arts, and, you know, it's really great. You know, you're bringing on some great guests, and we're having some great interviews. We're having great conversations. And, you know, this is what it's really about, being able to tell a story and share some experiences on the way. And the great part about this being recorded is that it's archived for, you know, for a lifetime of, you know, going back and thinking about what we were talking about way back when. So, again, as in the Sports Karate Museum, we're still preserving history, and this is what we're doing with the AMAAI, which is the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute, as we, you know, really work forward to bring forth a lot of great things. And what I want to share this week is about is Sifu Allen Goldberg. You know, his event is coming up, and it's going to be really phenomenal. 20 years he's been putting forth the Action Martial Arts Magazine Hall of Honors. And this is a world event, not just a national event. He has individuals participating from all over the world, celebrities. It's going to be a grand event coming up in January in New Jersey. And we've been blessed to actually be the publishers for a book for his event. And it's called Action Martial Arts Hall of Honors World History Book. And the book is going to go back to the beginning of the action martial arts. Who were the players? How did it get started? You know, what were the trials? What were the tribulations? Who were the early people that actually came to this event? Now you have the event. We're looking at between 10 to 15,000 people showing up over this two-day period of time. You know, 50, 60 seminars going on. And then you wind the evening up with a banquet that has anywhere from 12 to 1,500 people show up. This is truly a world-class event. And if you've been inducted into this before, you have a chance to share your story in the first ever martial arts history book around an event such as this. So I want to encourage you, if you're our listeners and you have participated in the Action Martial Arts Hall of Honors, then go to our website, which is pretty simple, which is www.actionmartialartshistorybook.com. And there you can sign up, submit your bio for the inclusion. The only criteria, you have to be have been inducted either in 2020 or past inductees. Go to the website, select the package that you want to choose. And, you know, how much of your story do you want to share? Do you want to share a little bit, or do you want to share a lot? And if you want to share a lot, then sign up for our full page advertisement on that. And I have a book coming out, and I'm really excited about, and it's called Public Speaking for Martial Artists. This book is designed to give you the ins and outs of your classroom. Remember, we're public speakers every time we open our mouths. And so just like this show is a tool to help us to become better. So the book is going to go from A to Z of how to be a motivational coach, how to improve the quality of your martial arts classroom, how to improve your overall quality in every area of life that you actually have to use words, that you have to speak in. So, you know, it's going to be coming up pretty shortly. And the last thing, check out what we're doing in the publishing business. We're looking for 10 martial artists that would like to share their story with the world. And we're going to release their books with our book in Las Vegas on June the 26th and 27th. So if you are an individual that feels as though you have a story you want to share with the world, we're giving you an opportunity to publish your book and launch with us in Vegas. Again, that's going to be coming up in June. Go to the website and check it out. And the website is www.elitepublications.org. Hey, sir, that's it for me tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to you and get ready for a great show.
All righty, sir. It sounds good. Well, I appreciate it. It's a lot of great information. Thank you very much for it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'm going to bring on Professor Gary Lee to talk a little bit about the Living Legends Roast of John the Giant Killer Natividad. That'll be November 1st and 2nd in the Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so I'm going to bring Professor on to just give you a little information about how you can get tickets and how you can go out and be a part of this amazing roast. Professor, you there, sir?
Aloha, Wolverine. How are you tonight?
Aloha. I'm doing great, sir.
You.
I just no,
well,
go
that's
ahead.
Good. You've been training every day, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I trained like a maniac. I actually cut training short just to do the radio show on Tuesday.
Well, let me tell you something. Make sure you get a couple of your guys wear a football helmet and spar them. Not a safety gear head and helmet, but a football helmet. So practice doing that. Okay. Okay. Anyway, thank you for letting me, taking for over the show and helping me while I recover. And thank you, brother Jesse, Uncle Jesse, I call him, for putting on, talking about what he's doing, because it's pretty incredible what he's got going on. But we're doing something in 2 weeks that's going to kind of knock the socks off of people. We're putting together people from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, people like Ron Marchini, Roy Kirby, Benny Aquinas, yourself. Quite a few people are coming in for this Las Vegas event we're doing at Sam's Town for John Natividad. We only have 14 seats left, and we've moved it around so people can sit if they call within the next couple of days. And the number to call would be 713-483-0476, and that's at Sam's Town Casino. And you have to call me in for a special code for a room, because right now rooms are going for like an amazing amount, like $500 a night. So you can't get a room if you just call in. You have to go through the Sport Karate Museum. And we're going to have so much fun. Friday, we're going to do a summit where I've got Chuck Merriman speaking, George Minshew, Butch Chogosala, quite a few people, Emil Farkas, Linda Pugisi. And then we're going to have an autograph swap from 6 to 9 o'clock. And the whole thing is going to be filmed as a documentary by Eric Anderson and his group, and there are about 3 or 4 different magazines coming in to cover the event. So, it's not about marketing or publicity, but there'll be a lot of opportunities at this event for people to meet a lot of cool people. Well,
right.
You got a great guest tonight, Mr. Hamilton, a fighter. I'm interested in listening to it.
Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Well, cool.
How you guys doing?
I'll tell you what, in 2 weeks is Las Vegas. And again, for more information, call directly 713-483-0476. And for people interested in the museum, www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And you can get more information from the Wolverine. Thank you again, Dean. Have a great night, buddy. Aloha.
You're welcome. Aloha, sir. All right, that was Professor Gary Lee giving you information on John the Giant Killer Natividad's roast coming up once again November 1st and 2nd at the Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. But now it is time for my guest. And this guy, I've been knowing this guy for a lot of years. I've watched him come up through the ranks in martial arts and very proud of, what him and his daughter has accomplished, because he was, for those of you that remember, he's a lot like me and my daughter, Alex, you know, and the fact that he was a competitor and his daughter was a competitor and they, you know, would compete together all over the world. And that's what we did. And, you know, to me, that's something very special that you share with people. And, you know, this guy is a fighter. But like I say, I like to bring on people that may, you know, Jerry is the type of guy, he's a fighter, he does good, but he's quiet, he's to himself. So I like to shine a light on these people and let people know about these people that are out there that are doing great, great things that may just be overlooked. And I don't want them to be overlooked because they work too hard and they put in too much time and they have karate schools. And, you know, I can speak straight when I talk about this guy and say, you know, his passion is martial arts, his passion is his school and his daughter, and that's what he lives for, is his daughter and his martial arts school. And, you know, and leading from the front, like I always say, I always tell my students I like to lead from the front. And, you know, that's what this guy does. So he's out there competing, leading the way for his students. Tonight's guest is Mr. Jerry Hamilton. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. So how you been doing? What's been going down?
We've been good. You know, just training. We just got back from Pan Ams. Hope won women's teams up there. Second in singles. I got a third in singles. We took some students up there. They did fairly well. It was a good time.
Good. Yeah, I miss Pan Am. I've got, I don't know if you heard or not, but anyway, I've got this movie that I'm doing, so it's kept me busy the past several weeks. And so between training, I still don't neglect my martial arts training. I still get all my martial arts training in and all that kind of stuff. That's a priority, so, you know, I just have to hit extra weights and stuff preparing for this movie, and it's got a lot of stunt fighting in it, so it's going to be a lot of hardcore fight scenes. Got some big people in it, like Dan the Beast Severin and Ernest the Cat
Ernest.
Miller, so,
yeah, Ernest is
you
in
know.
There.
Yeah, so, you know, we got some heavy hitters in there, and, you know, like I say, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great thing. So just been working, doing that. But I'm glad to hear you took care of business up there. So just for the people at home, they may not know who you are. You know, when you tell me that stuff, I know who you are. I know how hard you work. But some of the people at home, they may be listening in. They may not know who you are. But that's what the show Parts Unknown is all about, is we're going to shed a light on it and make sure that people know who you are. And as you know, the professor always says, the Sport Karate History Museum is about, or Sport Karate Museum, sorry, is about, you know, protecting that warrior one warrior at a time and collecting the sport karate lineage and the way it goes down and what happens and things like that. And so just give the people at home a little background, you know, what got you interested in martial arts and, you know, when you got started, that kind of thing to start with.
Yeah, so I think it was back in 2004. My daughter, she was really young. I think she was like 4 years old. She liked the movie Three Ninjas. So I asked her if she wanted to do dance or if she wanted to do karate. She chose karate. So we got her involved in it at that time. It was the Shaolin Kempo with Masters Studios. Her instructor was Billy Hillerton in Somerville, South Carolina. And I was trying to help her out with stuff because I took Taekwondo when I was a kid, but I was kind of messing her up, so I got involved in it. We both got involved in 2004 and been at it since then. We got our black belts in 2012 under Master Studios, and I think about 2013 we opened our school, ACK Martial Arts, which is Hamilton's Championship Karate in Somerville, South Carolina. We train out of there. We train a bunch of students. We take them to competitions, as many as they can or want to go. We don't really push competitions off people, but if they want to go, we definitely train them up for it and take them everywhere we want to go with us.
Right. Yeah, I remember you guys coming in because Alex was leading the way in the NBL. Matter of fact, in 2004, 5, 6, 7, and 8, She was a junior competitor, but she beat out Johnny Murphy for the overall points champion in the NBL every year, and that was a big thing for kids. So you know, as a kid competitor, she had a lot of pressure on her because, you know, it made a lot of adults mad because she was doing so good. And then it made them mad at me. And then, you know, with my attitude, I really don't care. So that, you know, so they would get the claws. And you've been there for some of that. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, I remember you guys coming in and, you know, seeing you guys and you know, we would talk to y'all. And I remember you coming up and introducing Hope to us. And she was just a teeny little thing. And, you know, you was telling us that you know, she liked watching Alex do the choreographed fighting and self-defense divisions. And so, you know, after that, Alex and I would always keep an eye on y'all and you know, watch Alex would watch Hope do her kung fu divisions. And, you know, she would do her katas and do her, you know, Chinese stuff. And y'all were, you know, really big doing it and getting out there. And it's good to see that you guys have really grown, not just as, you know, it's cool to have been able to see you go from there, but become, you know, the seasoned martial artist that both of you are, because both of you, you know, been world champions now, and I know Hope won several world titles last year, didn't she? In the
WKC, she won a gold. WKC,
yeah.
She won gold in Orlando, and when we went the year before, and then she won women's teams with Morgan and them last year in Ireland. Ireland was a good time.
Yeah, and you know. That's great. And because, you know, I often speak on the show about the character Do, meaning, you know, way of life. It's not just a part-time thing. And, you know, a lot of people, they put their kids in martial arts or something, but you and I have had our whole families in it. And I've got a whole, you know, I've got several daughters, but you've got Hope. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, how special that is. To compete and be a father and watch your kids compete. So just talk to me from a father's point of view of getting to be there and watch Hope, you know, maturing and growing up in the martial arts world and competing and things of that nature.
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, you know, when she was younger, it was mostly father. She didn't really separate the father and coach very much. It took when she was getting a little older and getting a little bit harder in these matches. Where it took I think one day we were at an MMA school and she caught me hard with a hammer fist and I was like, okay. So I came back at her with some shots and she seemed like she got a little bothered by it. And I was like, look, you got to separate this dad coach thing that we got because I'm not your dad right now. We're kind of competing. We're training you up to get ready for these fights. And she went to Florida. We went to Starrcade, one of Murphy's tournaments, and the girls there, they like to fight down there in Florida. Where you're from. So
yeah.
The girls came at her a little bit and she went back at him, and then from there on she kind of understood to separate the two. Okay, dad is dad at home, or you know, when he gives dad advice, but when we're doing martial arts, we're doing karate, we're at competitions, it's full coach mode and no reason to be all emotional and anything. So yeah, it's just been great being able to do it with her all the time, and the closest that we have, I really appreciate being able to do that with her.
Yeah, it is special and getting to do it. And it's also stressful as a father, you know, because you watch and, you know, I mean, you know, especially, you know, when they're younger and kids, you know, then now she's seasoned and she knows, but you learn very quickly in the sport karate world, you know, how things go and how, you know, even though people are supposed to have integrity and judges are supposed to be, you know, above, you know, the bar, they're still human beings at the end of the day. And sometimes bias creeps in, you know, and it's hard as a dad to watch them work and train as hard as they do and then go to competition and maybe somebody, you know, has it out for them. Because if they're in a lot of divisions like you and Hope, you know, you step on a lot of toes. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that we did. Not only do we have a big team so that we're competing, then I'm competing against a lot of the coaches. So if my players are winning and then I'm winning, then when I'm up there, there's people sitting there that you know, it kind of flips the script on them, you know, kind of gives them a little control over things. So that gets a little stressful. But, you know, the good thing is it teaches them about how it is in the real world. And I think that at the end of the day, that's the most important part is, you know, the lessons that they get out of it of, you know, life's not always fair, you know, and that's pretty much, you know, the way it is. And like you say, you have to kind of separate the coach and the, you know, the coach and the child thing. But, you know, a lot of times at competition, I would have people come up and Alex would, they would be talking to me, and Alex would stand at attention beside of me and not move while I was talking. And then I would look at her, she would step back and bow and then say, "Daddy, do you want me, I'm going to do this or that or the other." And then people would be like, they'd look at me kind of shocked and be like, "That's your daughter?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, she does that." And I'd be like, "Yeah." You know, and it, you know, it's amazing what you see them do and how they do, you know, when you bring them up in the karate world, you know, and it's a good thing, and you feel more secure because you don't have to worry about anybody giving Hope any shenanigans on the street because, you know, she can take care of herself, you know.
Definitely not.
And that's the thing. And, you know, I watched this video. I'm not going to call them out, but I watched this video on someone saying that, you know, that they were, you know, don't respect point fighting, that point fighting is not a real real fighting because, you know, you're not just going to tag somebody on the street and say you get a point. But what a lot of people don't realize is this is where, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, and this is where the Wolverine kicks in, and I go on my rant. But if you're a martial artist, you know, and you and I are sparring, we should be able to fight with light contact. If it's a
right.
If it's a fight, then you should be able to change your brain over to that, just like you should be able
yes.
to change it over to kata or this or that. So it really bothers me, and I want to see if you feel the same way. When people go, "Well, you know, you're training to point fight, and then you can't fight on the street." Well, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, if you're training to dodge, and this is the way I explain point fighters, hummingbirds on steroids, because they're going to blitz by at, you know, blazing speeds and hit you at least twice before you turn, and then when you turn, they can come back the other way. So let's just
right.
say you blitz by somebody on the street, and you just open hand, backhanded, slapped them. Just pop-pop with a double tap. You know, lead hand, back fist, right reverse punch, pa-boom, as you go by. Just like a drive-by in sport karate, just like, you know. And then you do that again and again. How many slaps do you think it's going to take with bare knuckles that you slap them in the side of the eye with those knuckles and then slap them across the mouth of that other hand? How quick do you think blood's going to start pouring out of their nose and mouth and the side of that eye?
It won't be long.
I'd say,
skin connects with skin, it tears.
I'd say it'd be rather quickly. And that's not even hitting them hard. But now let's
right.
say because you're a martial artist and you're trained, you can now hit that and then slightly rotate those hips. Boom! You rotate the hips into it. Now
yes,
you just avoided his contact because what do you do all day? You train to be less of a target and to get out of the way. So you got somebody that's trying to hit you, and you're training all day to get out of the way. Now, this is where a lot of people go, you know, and the reason we're talking about this is because you're a point fighter and you do fighting, and, I come from a Valley Tudo background, so, and I train with Joe Lewis. I've done a lot of kickboxing and full contact karate. So, you know, the thing of it is a lot of people go, "Oh, well, you know, a street fighter, they're the most dangerous fighter in the world because they're unpredictable." Number one rule of karate is expect the unexpected. Protect yourself
yeah.
at all times. So
yeah,
if I think that a guy that is – do you agree, Jared? Is that what you think?
Yeah, well, you know, you fight a boxer, you box a fighter. It depends on who you're fighting.
Exactly. And so I'm thinking that – If I'm spending all day like you do, because you're a lot like me, I run a karate school, you run a karate school, but we're not the average karate teachers that come in and flip the lights on 30 minutes before class, put a gi on, and, you know, do a couple little light stretches and then go, "Yeah, I'm ready for class." We're actually in the gym, pouring sweat, wearing sauna suits. I mean, we text each other, we talk, we actually working out, hitting the weights, hitting the karate, you know, doing whatever it takes to get ready, preparing. So when you have that kind of preparation, The difference that a lot of people don't realize in a street fighter and a martial artist is a martial artist is going to go the extra mile to win that fight when a street fighter is going to take the first exit. Yeah, a street fighter is going to cheat. Go ahead.
And the more trained you are, every situation slows down. You know what I mean? You've been there.
Exactly.
If you're a street fighter, the more you train, the more you drill, the more you do things. Real situations don't really happen all that fast. Everything kind of slows down for you.
Exactly. And when you're training to avoid attack and you're training to hit with blazing speed and then you rotate and you put power to it. See, a lot of people, they fight my guys in MMA and they get really confused because they see my guys come out and they're in like a point fighting stance. But then they don't fight like a point fighter. You know, and that's one thing I wish, you know, I'd talked to Colby about bringing Sage out. They were talking about bringing Sage out because he's doing good, but they still got him fighting like a point fighter. He's hitting one time and then floating back out. Well, our guys don't do that. They float in, and then they may be in a point fight stance, but when they get to the inside, they turn into Joe Louis. And then it's boom, 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 combos. Those hips are rotating like a windshield wiper. Pop, 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 pop. And you rotate side to side, and you trap them in that middle where they can't get out. And then they're overwhelmed. So you throw stuff, it's overwhelming, and you start adding power. So when you go to a street fight, you know, a lot of people think training point fight is not going to help, but it helps immensely in all types of fighting. Wouldn't you say, like you were saying before, you know?
So, well, timing and speed helps with anything, and definitely point fighting does that. You can see all the guys who have done lots of training through karate through the years and their families who come up through point fighting are kind of switching to some MMA stuff right now. And the guys that they just kind of stuck in MMA school and taught some striking and some kicks and some jiu-jitsu, the guys who actually came up with the ranks and doing the karate guys, point fighting tournaments for years, are having success with those guys. Because they just, you know, they teach them four or five things, some striking, some jiu-jitsu, some wrestling. But the guys who have been doing karate since they were 10 and fighting in tournaments are just having a lot of success with those guys.
Exactly, because what happens is, they teach in most full contact school step, step, punch, punch, step, step, punch, punch, step, step, punch, punch. They're kind of telegraphed. Then you watch them fight on TV and they're kind of walking their opponent down, step, step. They're flat, you know. And I try to make the demonstration all the time in my karate school. You hold a kicking shield, you put your arm through it, you put your arm on the top, and it's got this big, wide front piece, correct? So if you held that up to your chest, it's kind of as wide as your chest. So if you stand with your chest exposed, people are practicing drilling that. So when you turn into that more bladed stance, now you're just kicking at the side of the shield. And it's so funny when you hold the shield regular, people will kick it. You turn it sideways and tell them to kick the edge of it, they're like, I don't have a target. What am I supposed to hit? Well, hit the edge right here.
Right.
That's just 8 inches wide. Well, hit it. Well, then when you got your arm down over that, now you take in more target. And then the way you keep your hands up, it makes it really hard to get in. And, you know, if you, like you say, if you're training hard every day and you're training your footwork drills, your speed, your timing, you know, it really works good to maneuver and get in and work on these people, you know. So it's, you know, there's a lot to be said for point fight sometimes gets underrated, but that's because people don't know how to do it, you know, and that's a fact. I mean, people don't know how to do it. I mean, I fought down at Texas not long ago, it's been a couple years ago, but I fought that big German guy, and I don't, you know, blitzing, that's fine. They can blitz, but I rotate straight in. So the guy blitzed me real fast, and I didn't throw a punch hard. I just did not move. I stood my ground, and I put my lead hand up, and I turned, and I threw a straight punch, like a back fist reverse punch. I threw the back fist to cover his block, but my punch landed right on his forehead, dropped him straight down. Oh, now everybody's over there. What are you doing? You hit too hard. I'm like, I didn't even throw the punch hard. He come at me real fast. You know,
right.
I didn't throw the punch hard, but you know, if you don't move, it makes a difference. You know, and it knowing how to point fight is a different game. So you know how to fight, and now you know how to point fight because that's a whole different different animal. You have to train, you know, elusiveness. You have to train the agility, moving, really being light on your feet, being fast, and being able to pick your shots. Now, and I was going to ask if you agree. I tell a lot of people there's a difference between a soldier and a sniper. A soldier throws rounds downrange. A sniper throws rounds into its target, you know. So when you're fighting in point fighting, you have to fight like a sniper. You're not just throwing a bunch of stuff out there and hoping one lands. You're setting up a diversion and then attacking, making your strike land, because that's how you win the game, correct?
Yes, sir. The striking accuracy for point fighters is just more because we have to get points in certain target areas. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the distance that you close with point fighting, if you got a point fighter who has a good boxing game on the inside, once they close the distance, they'll be hard to deal with. And that's what you kind of see these guys doing a lot of now.
Right. Because, you know, and that's why I wanted to bring that up because, you know, a lot of people look at fighting, they look at it different. You know, when we teach fighting, we're a fighting school predominantly. My students go to competition. You see them, we fight. I mean, we fought.
I used
you've
to
seen
battle
our
that
people fight
big
down.
I used to battle that big guy, one of your students. I used to, the big guy, one of your students, me and him used to battle every tournament, remember? I don't remember. He was like,
or
whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, we're a fighting school and our guys, they fight hard, you know, and, you know, some people, they forget that, but they forget about, you know, what point fighting actually helps people to learn and to do and how it cultivates them. But, and they forget that point fighters can hit hard, you know,
they
forget that. I love Joey Shiflett. I've watched Troy Whiteley break both his cheekbones. Do you remember at the Super Grand when Troy blitzed him, hit one cheekbone, broke one side, he switched sides, blitzed, hit the other side, broke both cheekbones?
Yes, sir.
Super Grand. Fight on stage.
Troy,
you know, that was
Troy's still fighting.
That was two back fists. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I was going to fight at the Battle of Atlanta, and Troy comes to me and said, I think he's a mistake. I said, what? He said, your name is showing up in lightweight 50-plus fighting. And I was like, well, that's just if my blood holds up today. And he was like, yeah, no, you ain't coming out here throwing no haymakers. But Troy is like, he's one I'm talking about that is a hummingbird on steroids. That dude is like, you go to hit him, and all of a sudden he ain't there, and he done hit you twice. You know?
Yes. Troy's fast, and he'll put
like
it on you.
Fighting that. Do what?
I said Troy's fast, and he will put it on you.
Yeah, it's like fight. It's kind of like fighting that shadow guy on that video game. You know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, he's bouncing in front of you, and you go to hit him, he disappears, and he's behind you, and he hits you again.
Yes, sir.
But that's the way point fighters is done, you know. And like I say, I've watched you, and I'm super proud of you. And that's why I wanted to, you know, bring you on the show because. You've got out there, you stick with it, you go out there, you battle it, you get in there, you bang, and, you know, a lot of times, like I say, people underestimate it, but, you know, it's not to be underestimated, you know, you do a good job, and like I say, I'd love to be, and I probably will again, I just have to figure out a way and get my doctor to release me, because now with the diabetes, she's not really worried about anything but me breaking my foot, you know. And you know how easy it is to break a foot, break a toe when you're point fighting, you know, because the boots don't really take that up. And so that's the only drawback is, you know, if I hit somebody and I break a toe or break a, you know, then with diabetes, then that could mean taking my leg off from the knee down. So, you know, that's a weird situation, you know. Now, in combat boots that we wear on base every day with steel toes, it's a great thing, but you can't kick people with steel-toed, you know, boots on.
No, not really.
Even though those things are light and made for combat good, but, I mean, they protect your feet good, but it's not made for point fighting. But, and y'all do, let's see, are either one of you doing any forms now? Y'all don't do any kata at all anymore? Y'all just stick straight to the point fight now?
Yeah, so we just fight, Chloe. We don't do any forums anymore.
Okay,
she did a bunch of Chinese wushu when she was younger, and she did pretty well with it. We just drifted away from it when we opened our own place and got more towards the fighting.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's okay, because you know, it when you're going to be in a game, you need to work that game as hard as you can, you know, and you know, put that time in it, because you know, if you're going to be spending time training, you need to be making sure it's goal oriented. That's what I try to tell my fighters. If you're going to be training, do stuff that is going to progress you closer to your goal that you're trying to get, not, you know, doing training, but it really don't have anything to do with your goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, your focus needs to be pretty much one-sided. I mean, especially when you're trying to fight and at higher levels, and everybody else is training, you know,
what,
too.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't realize, man, NASA's got some warriors on there, man. I mean, there's some great fighters on there.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
and the older fighters are coming out more and more and more. And these guys have been doing it for a long time. So, you know, when you get 40,
yeah,
30-plus heavyweights in there, there's some contact being made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, them guys are banging. Yeah. Yeah, they hit. And yeah, they don't have no problem with it either. They're throwing down. And I mean, it's that way in any division, because the senior divisions are they're packed at these competitions. That's where everybody's at, you know.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people.
This year,
there's a lot of people in.
Go ahead. This year, there's been none of the divisions have been pretty stacked for most tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you come in looking for an easy day, you're gonna be disappointed, because it's always a long line of work to be done. Because
there's always somebody there.
And
you know, Joey Shiblett's always gonna be at a tournament everywhere you go.
Oh yeah, yeah, Joey's gonna be there. Yeah, Joey's gonna be there. Marty Knight's gonna be there. Jerry Hamilton's gonna be there. I mean, you know, that's something you can count on. You know, they're gonna be there. But you know, you have those groups. Ray Bryant Jr., he's pretty much there all the time, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, and then every now and then, you know, Jerry Fontanez shows back up, and you know, he still puts it on them, you know.
He still does
good. I tell you what, it's funny to watch Ernest fight though, man, because he fights and he don't separate point fighting from pro wrestling. Last time he was at a fight, he was fighting, and he was like, "Gee, look what I did to his eye. Look what I done did to his eye. Get him back up. I'll do the other eye that way." I'm like, man, they get so frustrated with him, you know, because he don't mind. He just, man, he puts on a good show, you know, but he's a good fighter, man. He throws down.
I was on an executive edge with Ernest. Yeah, we fought some team stuff. He'll put it on you. I sparred with him a little bit. He'll dot your eye up.
yeah, he'll put it on him, and then he'll tell him about it too, you know. And then they get mad and try to come at him hard, and then he'll hit him hard, and he'll be like, "Look what he did. He tried to hit me hard, now look at it." I mean, yeah, he does good. I love to watch him. So what y'all got planned next? I know you got some more NASCAR tournaments. We got Diamonds coming up, and y'all headed to Diamonds or?
No, we'll be going to Niagara for WKC. It's November 1st through the 8th instead of Diamonds.
Okay.
We're just focused on doing stuff for our nation.
Right. So you got WKC coming up. So y'all representing the USA again.
Yes, sir.
That's how many years?
Third year in a row doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a good thing. I mean, they really doing good with that. That's a big outfit that's really, really taking off and really doing good. I mean, it's a good thing. There's a lot of competitors there. I just went down and you know, got on the ISKA team, the world team. So, you know, I'll be representing the U.S. for them. And then, you know, like I say, we still got our NASCAR competition. Coming up, we got two more left in the year, and that's it for this year. And then we'll just get ready to go and do it all over again next year. So it'll be it all gets to start over. So we just get to go have a little awards banquet, and then start it right back out. So, tell me, so just give the ladies and gentlemen a little highlight of kind of take you through a day without giving any of your secrets away, the preparation it takes that you're getting ready to, you know, go through to fight at that level, that, you know, because a lot of people don't realize what a high level that is. And it's kind of hard for them to understand at home, but there's a lot of good guys out there, and just, you know, the preparation you go through, your training and that stuff, like getting ready for the WKC World Championship.
Well, typically we used to train like a long, long, long time ago when we were with Master Studios. We would take like one day out of the week to train, and it would be a long day of training. We found that really hard to recoup from and also to prepare. So our training, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Hope and I drill for 2 hours. We do all our basics. We do 3 minutes of our four books, our blitzes, our reverse punches, side kicks, round kicks. We do offense and defense, switching every 30 seconds between drills. And then we'll get into more complicated drills and footwork with each other. You know, just preparing for different opponents. Her and I watch a lot of film on people who win against us. So we come up with certain drills for certain people to do certain things. Tuesdays, Thursdays and Sundays we spar. So we drill for 3 days a week, we fight for 3 days a week.
Right. And I know y'all do a lot of cardio training and y'all do some strength and conditioning training as well.
We do we used to do some strength and conditioning training at a place around here called Legacy. It was like a performance place. But between the fighting and the drilling we do, we were starting to get some injuries. It was just kind of overtraining us. Our bodies really never got no time to rest.
Right.
So our strength training is more calisthenics, sit-ups, push-ups, more stuff like that instead of weights.
Well, yeah, I tell you what I started doing. I started using the big sandbags and the rucksack. And,
yes, sir.
Man. That makes a big difference. Just different drills you can do with that because the weight is shifting, so it really works your stabilizers and your core, you know, and your overall strength because it's more like, you know, like it would be in a real fight. But I do a lot of practical work with it, like for takedowns and throws and, you know, stuff like that and positioning. But they're good tools. And it's, you know, like I say, it's not like just the linear weights, you know, beach body weight, but, you know, we still do some of them too to strengthen up and do the stunt work and stuff like that.
I've noticed
that
it's hard for people to do their basics a lot. When we have some people come train with us, we'll do things. And I'm like, well, we do all of these basics for, you know, 3 minutes apiece. Most people, you know, are kind of scatterbrained, and then they start losing and skipping to other things. Well, we just stay consistent with those. I think if your basics aren't there for you, you know, then you can't really do the higher level stuff either. If my sidekick's no good, then I can't really concentrate on any footwork.
Exactly. And I try to, you know what, I'm glad you said that because I try to tell people that all the time. They're like, I want to work. I'm like, you need to work the basics. Get your basics down. Stick to the basics. Well, why do we do this at the beginning of every practice? Because it's called basic practice, and we're going to do that until you know, that's how we do class. You're gonna line up. You're going to work on the basics every day, right off of the bat, just to start, because we're going to drill, because at the end of the day, you're going to fall. If you've been trained right and anything goes wrong, you're going to fall back to the basics at least. And if you got good basics and a good foundation, like you say, then you can regroup and re-put your fight together. Because your basics are going to be the key to rebooting your footwork and all that stuff. And Joe Lewis was huge on footwork. So, you know, we do a lot of footwork drills and cutting drills and, you know, things of that nature. But, he was big on footwork. He was also big on punching me in the face. He was really big on punching me in the face. That was one of his favorite things. He would punch me in the face and then look at me and he'd get this big grin. He'd be like, did I break your nose? And I'd be like, no. And he'd be like, how does that nose not break? And I'd be like, I don't know, but why do you keep punching me in the face? And he'd just be like, I'm trying to figure out why that nose don't break. But it's just good times. But I mean, that dude would hit you like a freight train, man. He would come inside and he would lift you completely up off of the floor, hitting you in the ribs. You know, to where when he caught your body, you seen a white light flash. And sometimes you didn't know if that was because you just died or what just happened. But that white light would flash, man. He would hit your body so hard. And now, like, a lot of people don't realize that in karate, the kick, whoever's kicking, the kicker has to stop the puncher, correct?
Yes, sir.
So you can't lollygag a kick out there and then your leg collapse and then because I know a lot of people will go, look, that kick landed, but the striker will kind of run over top of it and keep coming and land the point, you know, get the back fist to the head or whatever. And people's like, oh, yeah, that's not right. He had the kick, but the kick's got to stop him, correct?
Or disrupt the movement at least, you know what I mean? At least put a pause in them coming to hit you. Right.
Right. Well, we do a
I
lot
see
of
a lot of them. Judges that, you know, that they don't. They call some bit leg kicks, and I see a lot of judges that won't call kicks. It just depends on your judges and how they're, you know.
And that's what I always go back to. You cannot leave your opinion of yourself to what the judges think, because you never know what kind of judges you're getting that day.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, some judges they're gonna call every point and call it right down the line. And some judges are just looking for kicks. So if you're not kicking, you're not scoring. And some are just looking for that blitz. You go to do a blitz, they call in point, and you ain't even landed nothing yet. They just see the movement, the hand goes up. You know, I mean, I've watched them, you know, and you probably have too, and it's kind of comical. The guy will do a blitz, and the guy will throw his hand up like point over here, and then even the other player is like, what? I didn't even hit him.
You need to stand around and watch your rings also. That's why it's important to see where the judges' mindsets are at. You can kind of see what they're looking for and what they're calling. You know what I mean? Say if there was four judges before the division started and they're sitting around and they're talking about somebody's blitz. Like, man, did you see that guy's blitz the other day, you know, the blitz and their punches? So when the matches start, when the division starts, what are they more likely going to be looking for? They're going to be looking for punches. Or the same thing if they were talking about kicks. You know what I mean? It just kind of you got to watch your mask, your rings, and see what the judges are really looking for to be able to adapt that as a competitor.
And people really don't realize exactly how much goes into it, you know, and how much mental preparation also goes into it. You know, like you're saying, like you watching the videotapes, you're you know, creating drills to work around different things. And that continues to build you, and that's what I say, like, even for the street, it builds that you're doing so much that a street fighter comes at you, you've got a zig for their zag, because you've got a quick eye to adapt to that fast blitzing motion. And most people that's never been had anybody blitz them that's good at blitzing don't realize how fast somebody comes across 2 to 4 feet, you know,
right.
And gets all over top of somebody. They're like, oh, what's this blitz? What do you mean? They don't realize how quick that is, and it's that and how much you have to work that development of that eye coordination to – you see that movement, you get your body to react. I try to tell my people all the time in the military and in class, there's a difference in action and reaction. You know, action is you see that guy and I'm going to move over here out of the way. A reaction is he flinches and just the sight of his uniform, your body reacts instantly to what it needs to do and gets into gear. Action is delayed. You know what I mean? And an
right.
action can and on the battlefield can get you killed, you know, and an action in point fighting can get you hit, you know. And these guys are moving fast, you know. When you're throwing a back fist and you're expecting somebody to get out of the way, you know, and they, you know, and they don't get out of the way, then they get hit pretty hard, you know. I mean, you hear them thuds all over the place with people getting, you know, getting hit with some solid shots. So, you know, these people saying that point fighting just, you know, is just a game of tag don't realize that these guys are, I mean, you're tagging hard. You know, it ain't
right.
just a game of tag. Tag shouldn't leave bruises, you know what I mean? And,
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of you guys, and you know, and just for myself, you know, you come out, you got a black eye, you got some bruised ribs, and, you know, you got, you know, injuries. And, you know, I know a lot of people didn't like the elbow pad thing, but, you know, there was so many people blitzing straight in, you know, that everybody's, you know, cheekbone was getting hit with the elbows because of the fast movement, you know. It's like
I've got my
taking,
eyes split open a couple times for elbows, so I kind of like the elbow pad thing.
Yeah, I know. I was getting ready to say, and you probably know that as good as anybody because it don't matter. Every few days on Facebook, not really every few days, but there's a lot of Jerry Hamilton pictures on Facebook of, well, look what I got today. Got my elbow
right.
on my cheekbone. You know? Or I'll see at the competition.
Yeah,
I'm like,
what
happened to the eye? You're like, elbow.
It used to be every other week, it seemed like. It's been a little bit now, though.
Yeah, it does seem like it's been better. But, I think the elbow pads is probably good, especially for the guys, because, you know, the guys, like you say, when you're blitzing fast, it's like two drag cars facing each other, and they're going to take off, and they're just going to barely turn the wheel enough to just barely sideswipe each other, but there's still going to be some damage to the car, you know, and that's kind of like it is. If your elbow's to the top and the guy's underneath, then you might be all right, but the next time he might be over top, and then, you know, his elbow, you know, clips your face, so, you know, definitely elbow pads is probably a plus.
Yes, sir.
You know?
It depends who you're fighting to. If you run into a traditional karate guy, a Kempo guy, they like to bring their guards up high with the elbows facing you. So, I mean, if you run into
right.
seasoned fighters who know to pull down so they're not, you're not catching elbows, it just depends on who you're fighting. But actually,
right,
it's
yeah.
all the time.
Right, yeah. So I'm looking here at your pictures. You got do they have new uniforms this year for the WKC or?
Yes, sir. We didn't post any. They got pinstripes on them. They kind of look like a baseball outfit.
Okay, because the ones last year looked pretty cool there. The red with the blue, and that was kind of your colors anyway. They kind of took the red and white there. It's kind of
yes,
how
sir,
y'all
yes,
would, so that was a pretty good a pretty good thing. So
last
I guess I guess
we liked, yeah.
Do what?
The last year's uniforms we liked, and the ones before that that had like the stars and stripes, those were pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess Hope is getting ready. She's probably pretty excited about going. I guess going to Canada is going to be fun, but I guess going to Ireland was probably even more fun just because of the fact that, you know, getting to be in Ireland and all the, you know, everything being even crazier different.
Yeah, we stayed a week in Ireland. We had a blast there. I love it. They have I take cold showers every morning. I'm a cold shower guy. And Ireland has like
yeah.
35 degree water in their showers, so I kind of love that.
Oh man, yeah. So you fit right in Alaska. My cousins grew up in Alaska, and they would have to. They were four girls, and they would have to go out, and you know, because Alaska, they lived off grid, and they would have to take baths out there, and they'd have to break the ice, you know, to get to. I'm like, whoa, man. Yeah.
It helps with injuries
cold.
And stuff, and inflammation in your body and all that too from all the training we do. So cold showers are the deal.
Yeah.
That's where I really like them.
It definitely does good. We got a thing on base. They got a big ice tub, and they have several of them sitting around. Guys can get in and ice off, and you know, and it does make a big difference. And you know, even it's funny that you say that, but even ice showers are even good for diabetics. People like me, the colder showers helps to burn more blood sugar.
Right.
So yeah,
speeds up your metabolism, boosts your metabolism.
Yeah, yeah. and it helps, you know, helps keep you, you know, it helps cut you up and all that kind of stuff. Get the fat burning on your body and all that good stuff because, yeah, like I say, it boosts your metabolism because you got to shiver to get warm and all that kind of stuff. So,
absolutely.
So let's see, y'all got the WKC then. So y'all are, so y'all's NASCA competitions, y'all are pretty much wrapped up with Pan Ams then, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Our next NASCA,
yeah.
I think, will be Chicago, I think. The AKAs?
Yeah, AKA. Yeah. AKA.
Yeah.
All right, and, man. Yeah, well, look. Go ahead.
No, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we wish y'all the best luck. I know y'all got a lot of, you know, a lot of preparation you're doing to get ready to go to these competitions. And you know, I'm glad to hear about y'all taking care of business at the Pan Am. And you know what, Jerry? I'm just sitting here looking through the pictures. And here's one picture with Jerry Hamilton with a black eye that me and you just posted with your stuff. And I think there's two pictures in it. And here's another picture. Two pictures out of the pictures that we posted with you with a black eye.
Yes. So, yeah, I had a lot of black eyes, sir. I'm no stranger to them.
So, you ain't – the black eye is not – that. Yeah, that ain't – you definitely ain't scared of a black eye because I just – I thought that was funny that we was talking about the elbow pads and the elbow catching the eye. And then I'm just looking at the pictures that we posted up to promote you being on the show. And, you know, out of the group of pictures that we put up, two of them, you got a black eye in. You know? So that's pretty good. Well, that shows you definitely out there doing battle and putting in work. And like I say, if you're doing it to the level that you're doing it, which is, you know, I mean, you can't really get any higher level than what you're fighting at. You know, black eyes is what's going to happen, and you're putting it in and doing great, and I'm really excited for y'all and glad that you guys have stuck in there and stayed that father and daughter team and continuing to do stuff and do that kind of stuff. And, you know, me, I've got this movie coming up, and Alex is actually cast in it also, so you know, we're back.
Awesome.
We're doing our thing, so you know it's going to be good. And then, so it's we can't give a lot away right now, but yeah, it's going to be a good thing, I think. But you know, we're hoping to do good. I know they're pushing things into crowdfunding this week, where you know they always do some crowdfunding and things of that nature because they always keep out like. I think this movie's got a $5 million budget, and then but they always put out like 20% to crowdfunding and stuff like that, so anybody can get involved with it and you know get their you know there's a certain donation limit they can get their name in the credits and different things like that. But the basis of the story is the movie's about bullying and not just bullying, but shedding a light on the effects that bullying not only has on the person being bullied, but their family, their friends, you know, the whole community. And right now in America, that's a big problem. And one of the big problems is bullying and the effects that the bullying is having on everybody, you know. And
bullying
we're hoping
has
that,
always been around since you and I were kids. There's always been bullies.
Exactly.
You're not ever going to get rid of bullying. It's just teaching the kids to cope with them. I think now the kids nowadays are maybe a little softer now than we were when we were kids.
They don't
so
have the coping skills. Exactly.
Right.
They don't have the coping skills. And a lot of the schools and parents, they kind of tie the hands of the kid being bullied because the kid don't want to get in trouble. You know, back in our day when we was growing up, I mean, my daddy'd tell me, hey, this dude bullies you again, you better come home and you better have ended that, you know. And pretty much, you know, there's you can continue to turn the other cheek, but unfortunately, turning the other cheek 99% of the time just continues to lead the bullies to get more brazen and more brazen and more brazen.
Right.
You know, so
bullies look for victims,
and that's kind of what
opponents.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the guy's learning in this movie, that you know he makes a promise, but you know. turning the cheek is just kind of leads the bullies to becoming more brazen. It's kind of like if you got a fox and you've got a hen house and, you know, your fence ain't real good and your dog's lazy, the fox gets more and more brazen, and instead of stealing one or two eggs, next thing you know, he takes the chicken. You know? So
yes, sir.
He's got everything, you know. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you coming on tonight and talking with us about point fighting and being a fighter and being a competitor, and wish you the best of luck. I know you guys are going to bring home some more gold. I know they had some nice rings and stuff down there at Pan Am, man. I'm really, really hating I missed that, but you know, it is what it is, and it's Miami, but you know, I mean, and it's in my state too, but it's still not close. That's
right.
The only bad thing
right.
about Florida. It's kind of like Texas. It's nothing close, but there's some fighters here. But we appreciate you being on the show, man, and I'll be seeing you and talking to you before y'all go the world. But if not, you know, I wish you guys the best of luck, and I know y'all are going to do a great thing, and I just want to let you know how proud I am of you guys, you know, because y'all have definitely stuck in there, and you're people that definitely I wanted your history out there and recorded and put out there, because you guys, like I say, you come in and you've stayed consistent and still doing it. And tell Hope that we're going to get her on the show too. I'm going to start bringing on some junior competitors. I know she's an older junior competitor. I mean, her, you know, these girls are getting to be adults, man. Jerry, we're getting old. I mean, Alex ain't even a junior no more. She's an adult. So, you know,
Hope
it's just crazy. But I know. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about how little they used to be. And then now how old, you know, not old they are, but now they're young women. You know, they're man, that's crazy. But anyway, dude, we're just going to keep doing what we do. But so the little boys, you know, when they come around, they might come around, but, you know, they're not going to get that soft shell, Dad. They're going to get the hard serve. So,
yes, sir.
You know, we're just going to be ready to do what we do. Well, good luck to you guys. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us, and we'll holler at you soon, brother. And look, real quick, just tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they want to join up. People might be listening in South Carolina, how they can join up and be part of Hicks Martial Arts.
Yes, sir. We are at HCK Martial Arts and Fitness. We're located at 911 Central Avenue in Somerville, South Carolina. Numbers to reach us at are 843-343-1484 or 843-312-4530. If you want to stop in for workouts, we do sparring training every Sunday, 12 to 2. Interested in classes, just give us a call. Dean, I really appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you always. We
You're
always
welcome,
have a blast
man.
When we see each other. I appreciate you too, my man.
All right, bud. Well, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jerry Hamilton. He's a NASCAR competitor, WKC competitor, NBL competitor. I mean, the guy's going everywhere competing, him and his daughter, Hope, and we'll have Hope on the show before long. We need to, you know, bring in some of the juniors and have them on the show. So we'll be bringing them on pretty soon. We just want to take this time to thank you for bringing us into your living room again on this Tuesday. We want to thank our producer, Mr. Bowen, for bringing us on and, you know, and having us. And we want to thank Professor Gary Lee for the Sport Karate Museum. And remember, the roast of John the Giant Killer Natividad, November 1st and 2nd. Sam's Town Casino, Las Vegas, Nevada. You want to make sure you set your calendars and get in touch with the professor and get some tickets for that. It's going to be a Hawaiian blast. Until next time, guys, as I always say, stay strong, keep your kicks up. God bless America. Ugh.